Good morning, Calvary. I greet you in the worthy name of our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus. God is good all the time. Amen. He is worthy to receive all honor and praise and glory. He is worthy because he created us and then redeemed us and bought us back with the price of his own blood. His power raised Jesus from the dead. And will one day raise us up from the graves if we have passed on. And those of us who are remaining, when he returns, he'll take us to be with him. Our sermon today is titled, A Resurrection Timeline. Our text is taken from 1 Corinthians 15. In the fall of 1991, a car driven by a drunk driver jumped its lane and smashed headfirst into a minivan driven by Jerry's sister. Sister and three of his children survived, but sister's wife, four-year-old child, and mother died in the crash. Over the years, sister has offered some profound reflections about loss, grief, and suffering. In his book, A Grace Revealed, sister shares the following story about how his son David responded to the tragic accident. My son David is and always has been quiet and reflective. After the accident, he was the least likely to talk about it. But when he chose to, he usually had something significant to say or ask. I had to be ready to respond to him when he sent cues indicating he was ready to talk. Our best conversations happened in the car. One particular conversation has stayed fresh in my memory. David was 8 at the time. We were driving to a soccer match some distance from our home. Typical for these occasions, David was quiet. The car was full of silence, not a heavy silence, but a liquid silence, as if some question was brewing inside him. "Do you think Mom sees us right now?" he suddenly asked. I paused to ponder. "I don't know, David. I think maybe she does see us. Why do you ask?" "I don't see how she could, Dad. I thought heaven was full of happiness. How could she bear to see us so sad? Could Linda witness our pain in heaven? How could that be possible? How could she bear it?" "I think she does see us," I finally said, "but she sees the whole story, including how it all turns out, which is beautiful to her. It's going to be a good story, David." It's going to be a good story. For us, we don't know exactly how it's going to be in the future. We don't know the details, but it's a good story and it's going to have a good ending. In the end, each one of us is going to spend eternity with our loved ones in heaven. We don't know the details of how and when this is going to happen. And sometimes we wish we would, but God chose not to give us details. But he gave us a broad outline in Scripture of how all this is going to happen. And that's what the message is about this morning, a resurrection timeline. I'm sharing four messages currently from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we look first at the reality of Christ's resurrection. The second message was why the resurrection matters. And today the message is titled A Resurrection Timeline. And I'm going to say right at the outset here that I call it a resurrection timeline. Not because there is more than one, but because I don't know for sure if I have all the details right. I'm suspecting I don't. But this is the best understanding that I have of Scripture, of when the resurrections are going to happen and what's going to happen between the resurrections and so on. I'd like you to direct your attention to the screen for just a bit. The need for resurrection began about 6,000 years ago in a beautiful garden. That's when the need for resurrection happened. That's where sin and death had their start. Sin first, and then death. Sin and death go together. I don't know if you noticed that, but they do. Sin and death go together. The next event on the timeline is Christ. Jesus broke the chains of death when he rose from the dead 4,000 years ago, 4,000 years after the onset of death. And we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday by meeting together for worship. The next event on the resurrection timeline is the second coming of Christ. That's what we have to look forward to next, is the second coming of Christ. We refer to it as the first resurrection. Jesus is coming back to claim his own. All the righteous dead will be raised from their graves where they were buried over the years since the creation of the world. So Cain and Abel, Abel is going to be raised from the dead in the first resurrection. Cain, not until the second resurrection. The final resurrection event will happen at the end of the millennium. At the end of 1,000 years of reign, then the wicked dead are going to be raised from the graves. And there will be the great, what we call the great white throne judgment, that's going to happen. The dead, small and great, will be raised with new immortal bodies to be judged by their creator. My best understanding of the end time scriptures and eschatology is called historical premillennialism. How many of you enjoy eschatology or end time discussion? I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you enjoy it? Some of you are raising your hands pretty high. Most of you are raising them a little bit. And it's not a universal enjoyment that we have for end time scholars. I was actually turned off on it a bit as a child because my dad talked nonstop about end times. And you know how it is with children. We tend to react to our parents sometimes. When our parents maybe go overboard with one thing, we tend to react the other way. And that was my response. My dad was an all-millennialist, and he believed that the all-millennial view was the correct view. And basically, you were kind of judged by agreement with him or not, as the case may be. And so I was somewhat turned off. But it is good to be aware at least some of the highlights of what the Bible says about the end times, so that we're prepared when it does occur. We do want to have some preparation and some idea of what the scripture says is going to happen, so we don't get caught flat-footed. Today, we will be reading a lot of scripture, and I encourage you to have your Bibles open as I read, and that we get it right from the Bible. Don't get it from Sam's interpretation, but get it right from the Bible, and hopefully you will be really blessed and strengthened as we look at that today. I'm not teaching a course today on end times, but looking at the resurrections, the two resurrections that are in the future, and how those fit together with God's plan. I invite you to stand with me as we read the text for this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 28, and then 51 to 52. Bibles open, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to be reading from verse 20, and then again 51 to 52. But in fact, he says in verse 20, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet, but when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. down to verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And the Bible word here is referring to death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. You may be seated. So, a resurrection timeline. Adam, Christ, the first resurrection, the second resurrection. In Adam, all die. That's what our text says. In Adam, all die. We are all dying here today. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm not dying. Yes, you are. You are in a dying process right now. Us old people are dying. You can understand that a little bit more. You middle-aged people, you're dying. Young people, you are dying. Even the child, this beautiful little child that's recently born, perhaps, is dying. We are in a dying world. We are part of this dying. Where did all this death and dying come from? It came from Adam. That's what our scripture just says. It came from Adam. That's where it all started. That's where death started, is with Adam. Adam began the process of death. Technically Eve, okay? But Eve and Adam were right at the same time, and Adam was Eve was Adam's responsibility. So it started right then. That's what set the in motion death. Death did not exist before Adam. They go up and dig up these skeletons someplace and all these fossils that are dug up, and they're saying they're billions of years old and all this stuff. That is wrong. That is not correct. The skeleton that they dug up, the fossil, whatever, that is less than 6,000 years old, whatever it is, since Adam. Adam is where death and suffering started. Adam is where death began. If you are in Adam, you are under the reign of death. Both spiritual death, that happened right away. Spiritual death, separation from God, that happened then. And physical death also began at that point. You, Adam and Eve, who were going to live forever there in the beautiful garden, now we're subject to death, and their bodies started the dying process, and that has been going on. We inherited that death and that sin and that death from our great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, and now we are in this dying process also. The proof that Adam's sin affected the entire human race is that death is universal. It's all around us. It's happening every minute. So in Adam, all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 22 of our text. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. If you have your Bibles available, turn with me now to John 5. John 5, verse 25 to 29. Just a few verses there that speaks of resurrection and dying and being raised again. St. John 5, verse 25. Truly, truly, this is Jesus speaking. I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Okay, so Jesus is talking here about two kinds of death, two kinds of resurrection. First, there is a spiritual death and resurrection that he's talking about. He says, for as the Father has life in himself, so is he granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he says, I skip back a verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He's talking about here spiritual resurrection. Each one of us who are Christians have heard the voice of the Son of God, and we have new life within us. A new life has begun within us. If you are a believer today, you have received the spiritual resurrection. There is life in there. Before there was just deadness. Before there was just sin. Now you have been spiritually resurrected, and you have this new life within you. And in the future, and an hour is coming, he said in verse 28, when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice. That's going to be an amazing voice. Yeah. It's going to be loud enough to wake the dead. Yep. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice. And you will be resurrected. The interesting thing here, and some of you are probably going to disagree with me, but I think I'm right. At that point in time, only half of those in the grave are actually going to respond. The righteous dead will be raised to life. The righteous dead will be raised to life. That is the first resurrection. The righteous dead will hear it in. They're going to be raised. The second resurrection is going to happen about 1,000 years later. Yes, it's going to happen later on. There's a term that you're probably very familiar with. It's taken from the King James Version of Scripture. It says, in the twinkling of an eye. I think you all know what that's referring to. In the twinkling. Basically, a twinkling of an eye, your eye goes this. It's just like a blink. We would call it a blink of your eye. In a blink of an eye. That's what that term comes to. Back to our text in 1 Corinthians, verse 51. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Actually, the ESV uses that term. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. In the twinkling of an eye. This is the first resurrection, the first physical resurrection. In the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen very, very quickly. Very, very unannounced. It's going to happen. And I believe that this resurrection, here again, you may disagree with me. I'm not offended at all. This is going to happen at the end of the Great Tribulation. Don't take comfort in that because we don't know exactly when the Great Tribulation starts and when it doesn't. At the end of the Great Tribulation, the sun and the moon will be darkened. The stars will fall from the heavens, and Jesus will return with power and great glory. Again, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to. You don't need to. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. So when Jesus comes again, what do we expect? What do we expect when Jesus comes again? We expect him to be coming with the clouds. And then those who are in the grave, the righteous dead, will be raised first. Where is Jesus during this time? He's in the air. We don't know right where he's going to be, but he has come, okay? He has come. And that's why I don't think there's going to be a secret rapture. I think there's a lot of noise associated with the second coming of Christ. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Every eye is going to see him. Jesus is going to come. There is no place in the Bible that speaks of two comings of Christ, two second comings. There was his first coming when he came to earth, and then there is his second coming. There is only one second coming, and the rapture that is in the future is going to happen at his second coming, because he is going to be coming. He is going to be coming. And then the dead in Christ will raise first. Then we which remain will be raised, will be ascending in the rapture. The rapture is an accurate term. It is an accurate term. The rapture is going to be happening. But my understanding, and I could be wrong. I'm not going to stand up here and pound the pulpit with it. But my understanding is that this is not going to be a secret rapture. This is going to be a very public thing that happens. The second coming of Christ is going to be very, very public and very noisy from the scriptures we read. He will come unannounced. We don't know the day nor the hour. And we want to be watching and ready for when he comes. Be watching, be ready. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. It's all so easy to get our hearts taken up with earthly pursuits and not be watching for the Lord's return. And that would be a terrible thing, to not be ready. Jesus warned again and again in Scripture, be ready. In the hour when you don't know, when you're not thinking about it, then I'm going to come back. I am going to come back. And then the righteous dead will be raised. And then we which are remaining, and it may be some of us, we don't know. We may be all part of that righteous dead in the grave. We don't know. We don't know when Christ is coming. But if the Lord comes in the next few years, many of us are going to be alive. And then we are going to be raised. Amazing miracle is going to happen. And we're going to go up through the sky, if we will, and we're going to meet with the Lord in the air. And from then on, we are forever going to be with the Lord. So, the timeline, we're going to ascend into eschatology just a little bit here. There's a lot of disagreement here exactly when all this is going to happen. You've heard the term pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. This is a big deal to some people. And I just mentioned it in passing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this because that's not the focus of the message today. And there is a lot of disagreement. We know that there is a tribulation coming. Bible clearly mentions that there is going to be a tribulation coming in the end times. Are we going to be around for that tribulation? Or is the church going to be caught up before the tribulation? The traditional view of Christianity from the time of Christ, or soon after the time of Christ, until about 1800 and something, was that in fact we are actually going to be part of this great tribulation. And that's the view that I hold. Pre-trib people say that no, you're going to, there's going to be a secret rapture first, and the church is going to be taken out of the way, and then the tribulation is going to happen, and then we're going to have, at the end of the tribulation is going to be the actual resurrection of the dead. Or, that's when Christ, when the pre-trib people would say then is when the start of the millennium will happen after the tribulation. So I'm not going, like I say, I'm not going to be adamant about this. The Western culture, I think, is what drove the pre-trib view. We in the West are not into tribulation. We don't like tribulation. We're softies. We would love to have the rapture happen first. Take us all out of the way. And then let the tribulation come and we'll view it from afar, okay? The Christians in the East don't hold this pre-trib view. They are used to tribulation. They understand that tribulation happens. And I personally believe the teaching of Jesus is such that we are going to be part of this tribulation. I really do believe that. And then at the end, there's going to be one resurrection, the rapture of the church in the post-tribulation is going to be what I'm going to promote this morning is what I just said. The graves will open and the righteous dead will go to be with Christ. And then we will be raised. Those of us who remain will be caught up with him in the clouds. Shortly thereafter, all of us will come down to be part of the millennium. Christ will bring us. And we are going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's the first resurrection. All happening together, basically at the same time. And then the millennium will happen. I have a very off-the-wall question to throw into your minds. The Bible says that when Christ returns, he's going to return with a shout, with a cry of the archangel. There's going to be, he's going to come with a shout, and he's going to become very visibly. How in the world is that possible? That the whole world sees him coming back. Isn't the world round? How are the people over in China going to see him if he returns? Well, social media, right? I doubt it. But we know it's going to happen. Everybody's going to see him come. It's going to be a dramatic thing. At the end of the millennium, our passage says, and then comes the end. Then comes the end. For reading from our text, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him. Put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all and in all. Open your Bibles then to Revelation chapter 20. And this message is going to run a little longer than I would like. I don't really am not a big fan of long messages. Bear with me. Then comes the end. Revelation 20, reading from verse 1. Follow along. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. And also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Those people who went through the great tribulation, which people are wanting to say you're not going to be a part of, those people who were part of that great tribulation, whose heads were beheaded, whose heads were taken off, and along with all the other people who had their heads taken off, okay, for Christ, they're going to come to life and they're going to reign with Christ in the millennium. We're going to raise with Christ in the millennium. I don't know how that's going to happen, but it's part of the package, okay, that we get. We're going to reign with Christ in the millennium, okay? The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. That's the dead, that's the wicked dead. Okay, the rest of the dead are not going to come to life until at the end of the millennium. And then they also will be raised, and we are going to come to the great white throne judgment of God. That comes the end. And for the sake of time, I'm going to stop reading at that time. The millennium is going to happen. At the end of the millennium, the second resurrection will occur. The rest of the dead will rise. All those who had not taken part in the first resurrection at the coming of the Lord, the wicked dead from all time will be raised to only to face judgment. The sea will give up the dead. Those whose ashes have been spread out or fell overboard, death and Hades will give up their dead, and there will be a great white throne judgment. And the Bible says the books will be opened. The books will be opened. I don't know if that's going to be a literal thing where you'll see all these books opened up, but the Bible says the books will be opened. And then they will open up the book of life. And this, I believe, is when the great judgment happens that Matthew speaks about in Matthew 24. There's going to be separation then. The sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats. Will we be present there at that judgment day? I tend to believe we will because of Matthew 24. But you have nothing to worry about that judgment. You don't have to worry. Your name is in the book of life. Your name has been entered in the book of life. And God or whoever, the angel, whatever, is going to open up that book of life. And he's going to see in there, Lewis Horst. All right, buddy. You go to the one way. Okay? You're going to be with God forever. Someone else who may be here, God forbid, they're going to look for your name, and it's not going to be there. And that would be the saddest time. Your name is not going to be there. And you are going to be sent into outer darkness where there is weeping, the Bible says, and gnashing of teeth. And forever and ever, you will be separated from God. It's a really, really sobering thing. This is the great white throne judgment. This is the second resurrection. Today's application for the message. Keep calm and be prepared. Okay. Keep calm and be prepared. That's the words that I have for you today. Keep calm and be prepared. Chuck Swindoll shared a personal testimony of a friend who was always ready. I worked in a machine shop for 4.5 years alongside a fellow named George. His job was to sweep and clean up the shavings underneath the huge lathes and machines we were running. George was born again and he loved the teaching of Scripture on prophecy. I remember hearing him sing hymns as he worked. Many of them had to do with the coming of Christ, such as "In the Sweet By and By" and "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." Late one Friday afternoon, about 10 minutes to quitting time, when we were all weary, I looked at George and said, "George, are you ready?" He said, "Uh-huh." But he was all dirty. He was just obviously not ready. In fact, he looked like he wanted to keep on working. I said, aren't you getting ready to go home?" He said, "Yeah, I'm ready." I said, "Look at you, man. You're not ready. You got to clean up." "No," he said, "let me show you something." So he unzipped his coveralls, and underneath were the neatest, cleanest clothes you can imagine. He had them all ready. All he did when the whistle blew was just unzip and step out of that coverall, walk up and punch a clock, and he was gone. And he said, "You see, I stay ready to keep from getting ready, just like I'm ready for Jesus." That's a nice word picture. It is a nice picture. You're ready. You're ready. You're going about your work. You're going about your life. You're going and doing all the things you should be doing, but you are ready. You are ready. All you got to do is unzip, and there you go. You're ready. "But know this," Jesus says, "that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to him to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Just exactly what all that form is, I'm not going to be adamant about it, whether it's going to be a secret rapture or a very public, noisy thing. In any case, we need to be ready. We need to be ready as good stewards for the coming of Christ. God bless you, and call for a song.